America, welcome to the Inside Scoop. It is still more than a year until the next president is inaugurated on January 20th in 2009. And yet the Iowa caucuses for the 2008 elections are around the corner. A month and a day from today, on January 3rd, 2008, the earliest ever in American history, people will go in Iowa, or at least a select number of activists will go to the polls in Iowa and choose their candidates. New Hampshire quickly follows on January 8th. The process is extraordinarily early this year, and we're going to have some time at the end of the broadcast to talk about the leapfrog and what kind of primary system we should have in America. But first, I want to talk about the actual candidates running. My guest today is Mike Lane. He's the president of Intellifant Strategies. It's his job to provide intelligence to the Republican Party, and I am a former congressional attorney for the Democrats. So we have different parties, but we may have similar views on the political candidates. Mike, let's start with the Democrats. The media, it seems, has anointed Hillary Clinton. They have said, based on polls, not based on bias necessarily, but based on polls, it's her race to lose. And before the first poll is closed, she's going to win this race. We'll talk about who can win and who can't win a little bit later on. Let's deal with the policies of Hillary Clinton and the other frontrunners. I think you would agree that Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, John Edwards are the frontrunners, and maybe we'd include Richardson as well. They're the only four that have any possibility of doing well in the race.
I think the top three. I think Governor Richardson is probably running for vice president at this point.
He's already an also
running. Lightning could strike, but it's unlikely.
Okay, so it's between then Obama, Edwards, and Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. Now, the latest polls I've seen in Iowa show almost a neck-and-neck race, the three candidates.
Almost a dead heat. Let me start off right away with a slightly different point of view about, you know, who has started the inevitability thing of Senator Clinton. And I don't think that was necessarily the media that started that. I think they jumped on the bandwagon. It was the Clinton campaign itself that started promoting the idea of the inevitability of Senator Clinton's nomination.
That's a smart thing to do.
It's a very good strategy if you win the first two, because then you run the table from there and there's no stopping you. But if you lose that first one, all of a sudden the whole inevitability thing goes away and it's like, well, what happened? I thought this was inevitable and she lost. And then she'll be fighting down in New Hampshire to, you know, see if she can get back on track. But we'll come back to that. I think the three, Obama, Clinton, and Edwards are the ones to watch here. In Iowa, as you point out, the latest polls, and everybody's polling Iowa almost every day now, have them grouped within 5 percentage points, you know, anywhere between 23 and 28 on each other. The last two polls have Obama up by 4, and then I think he dropped down to up by 3 today in one that was put out. So it's a real horse race in Iowa.
Okay, but you know, as I do, that first of all, Iowa is very unrepresentative of the Iowa population. These are caucuses. These aren't primaries. When people talk about Iowa, I don't think a lot of times they realize it isn't like all the Iowa voters get out there and vote. You have to go to these caucuses. You have to sit in a room for 2+ hours. Mm-hmm. If your candidate doesn't get a certain threshold, you got to stand in line for some other candidate. I mean, this is more for party activists than ordinary Iowa voters.
It's only party activists, and that's where Senator Edwards actually comes in with a very strong advantage, because almost 100% of his support is demonstrated previous history of voting in caucuses. As you point out, they're very, very difficult. It's not like you go down to your local polling place. You have to know exactly which of your neighbors is having this caucus in their living room. You have to have...
It'll be easier today with email.
You have to have the nerve to get up on a cold January night and go to this caucus.
In every precinct in Iowa, too.
In every precinct in Iowa,
little farm towns everywhere across the landscape.
As you pointed out, there's a second place rule. You need to, in the first ballot, you need to be able to get to 15% of the vote for your caucus goers to have a say. If you don't get to 15% of the vote, and with eight candidates out there, it's likely that there will be a lot that don't get to 15% of the vote, then they have to go realign themselves with their second choice. And so that will throw out, even though you're polling now at anywhere between 23 and 28 for the front runners, eventually the winner is going to have probably in the low 40s or something like that. And it's all a matter of who's got, you know, second place sewn up. And right now the preliminary indication is that Obama is the best second place choice. But again, that's not clear.
But I think part of the reasons Obama's doing so well as a second place in Iowa is because he's doing so well in New Hampshire. I mean, people play off each other. I myself would probably really enjoy a caucus. I think you would as well. We tend to be party activists. We tend to want to get... But most voters will not go out in the January cold.
And no, it's strictly
Let me throw out something for you.
I don't think Iowa matters that much. If I look in the past, and I look at Bill Clinton, who lost in Iowa and then won back, comeback kid in New Hampshire, if you look at presidential races, I think you'll agree that virtually every time the person who wins the New Hampshire primary, I don't think we've had a president, have we, that has won the election without winning the New Hampshire primary?
Oh, we probably have someplace in history. But
I don't know that we have, but I can name a whole number of them that haven't won the Iowa caucuses.
Right.
I mean, really, it's not as important, perhaps, as the media says it is.
It became important in 1976
with Jimmy Carter.
Nobody had ever heard of the Iowa caucuses before then. They looked at it and they said, you know what, we could probably win this thing, not that it matters, but then what we really want to do is we want to play this up in the press and tell everybody, look at us, we won the Iowa caucuses.
I think Ronald Reagan lost the Iowa caucuses in 1980.
He may have.
I think he did. And won New Hampshire.
The thing that will be good about the Iowa caucus, if you win it, you get the media momentum. You know, you're immediately
on the front page. Does that matter? 5 days?
It does matter going into New Hampshire because it will help your New Hampshire effort going into New Hampshire to have won the Iowa caucus, usually, not always.
Okay, so let's go through the Democratic candidates. The rap on Obama is he gets great speeches, he's very inspiring, but he's not experienced enough.
He's short on experience, that's right. He's got a grand total of 3 years as a United States Senator. That's his sum total experience.
Hillary Clinton gets all the Clinton magic, the Bill Clinton magic.
Right.
She was in the White House. Democrats are certainly not unhappy with her health care plan.
Right.
But her rap is she was too slow to come around to oppose the Iraq War. That's what a lot of Democratic activists are concerned about.
There is a certain large, measurable element of the party on the Democratic side that are just dissatisfied with Hillary because she wasn't leading the charge in the beginning against the war. She waited until the political winds were blowing. Now, I'm not going to say that she was driven by the political winds, but certainly she was not leading the charge.
Obama opposed the Iraq War from day one.
Obama apparently had a foreign policy as a state senator
in Illinois,
and
opposed
declared his opposition, not that anybody listened.
Now, John Edwards is an interesting candidate because he's really an also-ran. I mean, I guess I as a Democrat, and I'll make it very clear, I mean, I will vote for Obama or Hillary. I don't know which yet. I haven't decided yet. But I'm not going to vote for John Edwards. Not that I dislike him. As a Democrat, let me tell you, I'd be happy with any of them. I mean, if Dodd or Biden won the nomination, I would happily vote for them. I'm definitely happy with the big four. I'd be very happy with Richardson, Edwards, or Obama, or Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy with all my choices. When we get to the Republicans, I think you'll find there's a lot more unhappiness on your side of the aisle than mine. But John Edwards, it seems to me, he was a one-term senator. He ran for vice president under Kerry, but I think he gives some good speeches. I think he's got some really good, strong points about two Americas, which I think is very important for the Democratic Party and actually for the larger voters, talking about the fact that we really have an America that caters to the rich and poor people, middle-class people don't get the same results. I mean, he's got that one good theme that's good, but I just don't see him having the well-roundedness of a Hillary Clinton.
John Edwards is rolling all the dice on Iowa. He needs to win or come in a darn close second in Iowa. He cannot come in a close third and survive, because then it becomes, if it's Clinton and Obama 1-2 or 2-1 or something like that, then John Edwards, even if he's right behind, becomes an asterisk.
And isn't that what you expect will happen? Don't you think it'll be a Clinton-Obama 1-2, either one?
At this point, that's what I would expect, but I also would caution you there's 30 days left, and anything can happen in those 30 days.
Think Richardson has a chance in Iowa? I don't think
he
could slip into third place?
Richardson might slip into third place. I don't think it's likely, but I think Bill Richardson is setting his sights on being the vice presidential pick for either Clinton or Obama. Whenever he's interviewed, he refuses to say anything but glowing, flowery things about both of them. Obviously, he's trying to stay in their favor. And Bill Richardson, by the way, has a great resume. He's been around.
He'd be a good vice presidential pick. He's from the Southwest, the first Latino ever.
He would be a pretty decent pick.
He was a former cabinet secretary, governor of New Mexico. Ambassador to the UN. I think he's very highly respected in our party, and I think he would be a good vice presidential pick. Though I think many people, if Hillary Clinton does win, and I should say I do think she will win. I mean, I don't think that's a dramatic prediction for me to make. You're not so clear.
Let me postulate something that happens here. Right now, just in the last week, 10 days, Obama has started polling above Hillary in Iowa.
But not New Hampshire.
Not New Hampshire, no. But her lead used to be 15 points in New Hampshire. It's down to 8 now. If Obama wins and wins dramatically in Iowa, and he's starting to peak at the right time, if he wins by, let's say, 8 or more points and gets a huge amount of momentum coming out of there, than the firewall that Senator Clinton's campaign thinks they have built in New Hampshire, where they can't lose, starts to crumble. And in 5 days, her lead could go down to the point where she does come in second place. If Obama wins both Iowa and New Hampshire, I think he runs the table from there. I just don't
really
see how...
You don't think Hillary would come back in South Carolina?
Where, no.
Nevada?
I don't, because a lot of her black support, which
would
are...
crumble away.
Would crumble away and go to Obama if he wins the first two.
You know, it's very interesting. Obama, and I have been on African-American talk radio substantially, and it's very interesting to watch the black vote, because a lot of people put the black vote in one category as if mm-hmm. black men and black women vote the same way, and they don't. You find in the black community, the majority of African-American men do support Obama. The majority of African-American women support Hillary.
Right, right.
And it's a very interesting thing, because I think pundits tend to sort of put the whole black community as one. Hillary's women vote, the women factor, and not just in the Democratic Party, but to some extent in the general election, isn't that a powerful weapon for her?
It is a very powerful weapon. She is in first place in the polls and in the states where she is because of the support of the women's vote. More recently, according to the polls that were released yesterday and today, Obama has been slowly but surely chipping away at her women's support. It's going directly from her to him. He has nowhere near as much as he needs at this point, but the momentum is in his direction, and he's doing everything right, and he's got the secret weapon. He's got Oprah going out to campaign for him in three states coming up. And although I will confess that there's some things about pop art and pop culture that I don't get, and Oprah's one of them, the fact is it's real. She's influential.
I'm sure the most popular woman in America right now. I can't think of any person more popular than Oprah.
If she can sell Obama the way she sells books, he's on a roll.
Well, it's a lot harder to do. One of the things that I wonder, if, let's say, the conventional wisdom holds, and let's say Hillary Clinton gets a solid first and
right.
Obama gets a solid second and Edwards and the others start to melt away, could you see an instance where Hillary Clinton were to choose Barack Obama as vice presidential choice, or do you think that the idea of the first woman and the first African-American on the same ticket would be too much of a concern and they would run away from that?
I don't know how they would decide that. I'd certainly love to be in the room listening to that conversation.
I'm sure they would not allow you in the room when they talked about that. Because I'll tell you, I'd like to see that ticket. I, long ago when I thought Al Gore might run, I support a Gore-Obama ticket. I'll tell you why I like Barack Obama, and I may still vote mm-hmm. for Hillary Clinton, but Barack Obama, to me, when I hear him speak, he is the heart and soul of the Democratic Party, and he's not a partisan soul, and I'm sure he's a Democrat. But I think he's the kind of guy that really can bring this country together. He talks about no red state, no blue state. He talks about American families. I think he could actually give the kind of speech that could pull some Republican support as well.
I would disagree. I talk to my fellow Republicans all the time, and you know, even people that aren't activists, just people that are out there looking, Obama has no support among Republicans.
Do you think Republicans will vote more for Hillary than for Obama?
I don't
like her either.
You know what? If I had to choose a Democrat to vote for, my choice would be Clinton. It would not be
really?
Obama. Yeah.
And you would think the same is true for independents?
I don't talk with the independents all that much.
Okay.
But I can tell you the Republicans, there is no support for Obama among...
It's interesting.
You know, what we all talk about is, you know, who just wants to cave, quit, and run a national security, and you know, who at least understands that there are bad players out there, and we are convinced on the Republican side that Mrs. Clinton is the only one who understands the world.
Interesting, very interesting. We're going to deal with the Republican candidates right after the break. If you want to join in the conversation, you can do so. The phone number is on your screen. We'll be right back with more of the Inside Scoop right after this.
This is Mommy's bed. Me and Jenny were jumping on it. Mommy's gun fell on the floor. I was a cowboy. Bang, 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 bang. I said, Jenny, wake up, it's just pretend. But she wouldn't wake up.
If you give me a fish...
If you give someone a fish,
you feed them for a day.
Teach someone to fish.
You feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day. Teach me to fish, and you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
Thank you.
sister studied algebra in school and got a better job than I could. You take the last call.
Oh, no, 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 mister. Stuck in an entry-level job because you only learn basic math. I don't have a boss riding my butt like you do, so you take it so you can get back to your desk.
You know, I probably should, but maybe Miss AP Calculus with the $200 haircut in the big office upstairs would like a cup.
Oh, no, mister. What was your name again? Never mind, it doesn't matter. I'm too busy doing important things to care. I just came down for some sweetened stir.
You know, if my limited math abilities weren't keeping me from getting a better job, I'd quit this afternoon.
I don't blame you. But thank goodness you're stuck here because we really need someone to make the coffee.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. The Iowa caucuses are a month and a day and away, and I am discussing presidential election 2008 with my guest, Mike Lane, the president of Intellifant Strategies. We dealt with the Democrats. We're now moving on to the Republicans, but we're also moving on to you. This is a live show, and we welcome your comments. Is there a candidate you support? Why do you support that candidate? Who do you like? Who do you dislike? Call in and let us know. 888-488-MARK is the toll-free number, 888-488-6275. All right, first, before we move on to Republicans, a couple corrections. I didn't say for sure. I never say for sure unless I know for sure. I thought that people who'd won the presidency had won the New Hampshire primary. I'm reminded that's actually not the case of our two most recent presidents. John McCain won the New Hampshire primary, not George W. Bush.
In 00.
In 2000. Of course, Al Gore won the New Hampshire primary and was elected by the American people in 2000. So it still holds for that race. But in 1992, Paul Tsongas was running against Bill Clinton. He was from Massachusetts, a neighboring state. And Bill Clinton was the comeback kid with his strong second-place finish in New Hampshire. So the correction is made. Let's move on to the Republicans. Let me start, before we get to individual candidates, by suggesting something that I don't think is a big surprise, but I want you to confirm it. And that is that we Democrats like our candidates a heck of a lot better than you Republicans like yours.
I can't say that's the truth. I can say that there
That's what
is...
what the polls seem to show.
We have not narrowed down our choices as much as you have. You essentially have two front runners. You have Edwards with he's sort of in the mix, and beyond that, you know, everybody's sort of down the totem pole.
You have four front runners.
We have...
Or five.
We have four with Governor Huckabee now actually threatening to crack into the top tier with his front running numbers in Iowa. And so... It's a lot more in flux. I don't think that come the end of the day we're going to have trouble coalescing around our nominee, but it certainly is not clear at this point.
I think you may have trouble coalescing around your nominee. Let me suggest to you that all of your nominees are flawed, and let's take them one by one.
All right.
Rudolph Giuliani is your front runner, not with a majority, but with a solid plurality. He usually gets 30% in the national polls.
Sometimes 32, you know, in that era.
The religious right, which is what, 40% of your party or so?
Not quite that high.
It's over 30%.
30 is a good round number.
I think it's more than a third of your party. Whatever it is, a strong proportion of your party detests Rudolph Giuliani because of his stands on gay rights and on abortion. He takes stands that mirror the Democratic Party. It's precisely for the reason I fear Giuliani in a general election, because I think that on these social issues, a lot of pro-choice voters and gay rights supporters who would, you know, otherwise vote Democrat might look at Giuliani because of his stuff on that issue. Still, it drives the Christian right in your party away, and they'll do anything, I think, to avoid Giuliani for that reason.
There will be some who might opt to stay home. They wouldn't be very responsible voters. Nobody should opt to stay home. We should have voluntarily 100% turnout. Anybody who
maybe
does that,
maybe James Dobson will run as a third-party candidate.
Unlikely. He wouldn't get very much support. But look, Rudy's not necessarily going to be the nominee. Let me tell you the trouble he has, and that is that he's nowhere near competitive in any of the first two states. Yes, he's the top guy nationally, but he's got to get through the first couple primaries before he even gets to have a chance of winning.
You think he's going to lose Iowa and New Hampshire?
He's running fourth in both Iowa and New Hampshire.
Fourth in Iowa and New Hampshire.
Now, he's putting a little bit of effort to try and get himself up to third in New Hampshire, but he's just not, you know, he's not going to score well.
Why is he running so badly in Iowa and New Hampshire?
Because he has a
new
model.
New Hampshire particularly. New Hampshire, close to New York, New England.
His model for the nomination is something that's never been successfully done, which is since everything's so front-end loaded this time, he can afford not to do well in the first two primaries, don't be in the mix in the first two, the caucuses and the primary, and yet come in after that for the larger, more important states. never been done before.
And you think it'll
fail? It might be. Well, I'm not saying it's going to fail. I think it's a very difficult road for him to hoe to get to the nomination. And true confessions to everybody, Rudy's one of my two candidates that I'm juggling with now. But I just
the other
think
one's Fred Thompson.
The other one's Fred Thompson. It's never been done.
My two are Obama and Hillary. So we made our choices clear. But here's
what here's why Rudy's not playing in New Hampshire. Because the same thing when Paul Tsongas won the primary, he was from Massachusetts when he won the primary back in
You think Romney's going to win in New Hampshire?
Romney has been exposed. I mean, all the Boston television stations broadcast into the population centers in New Hampshire, in southern New Hampshire, where 90% of the people live, and they've all been watching this guy Romney, and they've liked him for 5 years.
So he's
years.
The favorite son candidate Massachusetts.
He's the favorite next door son candidate, and he's also sunk a ton of money into that state. And he's got, at this point, a fairly comfortable lead.
Before we get off Giuliani, I want to raise the personal issues, because I think Democrats care less about a candidate's personal life than Republicans. I think the whole impeachment scandal, Bill Clinton, was largely about who cares about a candidate's private life. And your party made a big deal that candidates' private lives matter. Giuliani has a very messy private life. How much do you think that will hurt him?
Well, it's clearly what's hurting him with the Christian base.
Plus, positions on abortion.
He went through a very messy divorce where essentially they had dueling press conferences for 9 straight months, and the tabloids up in New York had his divorce as the lead story every day for 270 days. I mean, it was ugly. There are many people for whom winning is going to be more important than going back and revisiting that. That's going to hurt Rudy in the primaries. Whether or not it hurts him in the general, we don't know, because there are a lot of leaders in the party, the Pat Robertson types, the Robert Jones University types, that will come and say, okay, it's more important that we have this guy win than
a Democrat.
Pure. So
let me move on to the other candidates, because we do have a lot here. You mentioned Romney, the favorite son candidate from Massachusetts.
Romney's the only one running
the big hair. Right, he's got the family out there smiling and around him and supporting the campaign.
Romney's right out of central casting. You know, I mean, here's the Mormon, and he's the only guy that can stand up there and say, I'm the only guy with one wife in this whole race. You know?
Yes. However, he keeps changing his positions. He was governor of the liberal state of Massachusetts, and who mm-hmm. knows what his positions are on abortion? He says now he's pro-life, but he changed there. He changed on gay rights. He changed on taxes. I mean, this is a guy, for all the jokes that people made about John Kerry and the windsurfer,
right.
I mean, Romney has flip-flopped so much you could get a rudder and make that thing go.
As Ann Coulter said when she was asked this question, as long as he's flipping in my direction, I have no problem with it. Now, here's Romney, unlike Giuliani, who's running a new kind of campaign, you know, sort of like not playing in the first two states, Romney is running the only traditional campaign where he's trying to take the first two states. If he takes Iowa, and that's by no means a sure thing because Governor Huckabee is giving him a real run for his money there, if he takes Iowa and if he takes New Hampshire, I don't know how you stop him. There's no model any place for a guy who wins the first two to be stopped.
He's also a fascinating candidate with regard to the Christian right, because he ostensibly, at least now, supports all the positions of the Christian right.
Right.
But I think you'll find more prejudice against Mormons among the Christian right than among Democrats. We have a leader, Harry Reid in the Senate, who is a Mormon, who is the Democratic leader, the most powerful Democrat in the Senate. There's mm-hmm. one of the two most powerful Democrats in the country, and he's Mormon, and Democrats don't care. But the Christian right, they don't like Mormons, most of them.
In the politics play out differently in the primary season than they do in the general election. Again, Governor Romney is having difficulties with that part of the electorate. Governor Huckabee is the one who has them. But Governor Romney is going to have, like Mayor Giuliani, is going to have problems with them during the primary process. And the question becomes, whoever gets the nomination, can they bring them all home and unite the party? I think the evidence is yes, they probably will, but we're 9 months away from that.
Let's go on to your other choice for you personally, Fred Thompson. Now, Fred Thompson's from my home state of Tennessee.
Right.
There is one word that harms Fred Thompson more than any other word. It's a word that a friend of his once used but probably regrets now. It's the word lazy.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Thompson is seen as someone who very much enjoyed his acting career. If you insist that he'll run for president and you give it to him on a silver platter, he'll take it. You know, I mean, nice guy, sweet guy.
Fred Thompson.
He didn't do anything to distinguish himself in the Senate. He wasn't a leader on virtually any bill any law. Why should this guy even run for president?
Fred Thompson would make a great president. He's well-grounded. He knows the issues. He's universally lauded by everyone on both sides of having the most complete issue papers out there on his website. I mean, there is no doubt where he stands.
Why didn't he distinguish every himself in the Senate?
You know what? He hasn't been a good candidate this time around, and I think part of it was getting started late because they had this whole buzz thing going. We're not going to jump in, you know, as long as the buzz is going. Well, I think they let that play a little bit too long. He should have jumped in a little earlier. After his initial success as fundraising, it's lagged a little bit. He needs to do a lot better job on that. And he's not
really...
I don't think
he inspires people. I don't see the crowds standing up and cheering and giving him ovations.
He's not catching fire on the campaign trail, but he'll do well enough in Super Tuesday. He'll carry about 3-4 states, and he'll keep him maybe in the mix.
Really?
Maybe he will.
You don't think he's going to win Iowa or New Hampshire?
No, not the first two. No, he's running poorly in those two. Actually, he's running third in New Hampshire, or second in New Hampshire.
You think he's going to win a few states? What, in the South?
Southern states.
Tennessee.
He'll be in the mix. If you wanted me to put money on it today, he wouldn't be my first choice as to who's going to win, but I don't think he's out of it.
Who is your first choice who's going to win?
If you wanted me to bet money on it, I think I'd be betting on Governor Romney if it was
Governor
a pure bet.
Romney. All right, let's deal with number four, the guy who people thought was the front runner at least a year ago, the person who beat George W. Bush in New Hampshire, the one Republican that many Democrats have respect for, including myself. Mm-hmm. Even though I disagree with him on a lot of issues, I think he's an honest man, and I firmly appreciate, for example, his stands against torture, and that's, of course, Senator John McCain. You don't much like the man.
John McCain is a great American whom I respect for everything.
As well you should.
Everything he has done for our country. I have some visceral differences with some of the positions that Senator McCain has taken. Particularly, I think his leadership on campaign finance reform, which turned out not to be campaign finance reform at all, but it just created a whole new set of bugaboos. I happen to know that Senator McCain was made perfectly aware of what the problems were going to be, and he said, no, that's not going to happen. And, of course, it happened exactly the way he was warned it was going to
be. Just needs to be even stronger. McCain-Feingold should be a first step. We need better campaign finance.
You know, if you want a comprehensive reform, you do it comprehensively. You don't do it piecemeal. Anyway, John McCain would make a fine pick for either president or vice president. I don't think he would take the vice presidency. I think he's very happy in the Senate. But it will, you know, I think he has eclipsed himself on this because of his position on immigration reform.
I think because of his position on Iraq. He stood very firm supporting the president in a way where everyone else was kind of backing off.
That's not hurting him in the Republican primary. What's hurting him in the
It'll
Republican
hurt him
primary,
in the general election.
What hurts him in the Republican primary is his stand on immigration reform. That's where he lost the party. The last one, let me talk quickly about Governor Huckabee.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to get to Governor Huckabee. We've got to take a break. We will bring Governor Huckabee into the next segment, and then I want to talk about matchups. Giuliani versus Hillary, Thompson versus Obama. Who's actually going to win this thing at the end of the day? Folks, you can join in the discussion. We'd love to hear from you. Toll-free number is 888-488-MARK. The other number's on your screen. Call in. Be right back after this.
Some people in Fairfax County don't know what public access means.
Some think it's just another channel on the dial.
But it's much more than that.
It's the voice of the people.
People like you.
Your neighbors, your friends,
or your family.
People who want to share ideas,
opinions,
cultures,
lifestyles,
art,
sports,
music,
events, entertainment,
history,
science,
beliefs.
People who want to learn about television,
producing,
directing,
cameras,
audio,
lighting,
editing, or radio, talk, music.
Whatever you think people should hear.
Public access is the place where everyone has a voice.
And it's the place where that voice gets heard.
A place where you can create your own form of personal expression.
So what do you want to say?
Whatever it is.
You can say it here.
Because we're public access.
For the people.
By the people.
It is about balancing our choices between the gray of the concrete jungle and the stunning beauty of the real one. Between a stoic facade of granite and the fury of the canyon. It's why there's EarthShare, the simple way to find balance. EarthShare is the workplace giving program bringing the leading environmental groups under one umbrella. Support EarthShare, support them all. EarthShare, please ask your employer about workplace giving. To learn more, visit our website.
Thank you. Thousands of kids in this country have everything it takes to go to college, except the money. The United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Scoop. It is not too early to think about election 2008. Normally, it would be too early back in 2007 to talk about it, but with the Iowa caucus literally a month and a day from now, and New Hampshire following 5 days later, we have the earliest process ever. We're talking about the various Democratic and Republican candidates for president, and we'd love to hear from you if you have a thought on which candidate you like and why, or who you don't like and why not. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK. 888-488-6275, or you can dial 571-749-1166. Mike, before the break, you wanted to talk about the fifth candidate in the race, someone who people didn't think had a chance a month ago, and that's Governor Mike Huckabee.
Huckabee has been, you know,
the dark horse.
Well, he's been the almost first tier, but never quite made it into the first tier candidate, and I'm not sure he's quite there yet. But here's what you have to know about Governor Huckabee. The first thing is, he is probably the only candidate who has really benefited from all these debates that we've had, because he always comes across as so genuine, so real, so honest. He's a nice, affable guy, and he's got an incredible sense of humor, and he's known for that. He has assiduously courted the Christian conservatives in Iowa.
Yes, he even has all the mailing lists I read the other day, from the Temptation of Christ. He took Mel Gibson's mailing list, and he's been using it to get out to a lot of his supporters.
The question really is, are these people going to show up at the caucuses in Iowa? Rudy Giuliani,
I think they will.
Rudy Giuliani needs Mike Huckabee to stop Mitt Romney in Iowa. So if Romney wins Iowa and Romney wins New Hampshire, I think he starts to run the table. Might miss one here and there, but I think he starts to run the table. If Mike Huckabee can somehow upset Mitt Romney in the Iowa caucuses, then even if Romney wins New Hampshire, Giuliani is still alive fighting in those other states which are his.
I think Huckabee is the candidate that really the Christian conservatives should go to. He is their most likely candidate.
He's a former Baptist minister.
The other one is Romney, but he's got that Mormon thing going on.
Right.
Whereas one of the interesting things about this is, you know, is it justified to talk about a candidate's religion? And I actually think it is. Let me tell you why. When Jack Kennedy ran for president in 1960, he said, the fact that I'm Catholic is not relevant because I don't do what the Pope tells me to do. I am Catholic, but I don't necessarily follow all these dictates of my faith. Put it aside. Judge me on the issues. Don't judge me on my religion. And that's fine. When a candidate says that, I think religion is off the table. Romney hasn't said that. He could easily say, yes, I'm Mormon, but I won't necessarily act the way the Mormon Church wants me to. I have my own beliefs. Follow me on the issues. Ignore my religion. He hasn't said that.
He hasn't had to yet, and it may be...
He hasn't given the Jack Kennedy speech.
I know that probably twice a week they talk about giving the Jack Kennedy speech inside that campaign.
Because then once he does, then I will take it off the table.
And every time it comes up, which is twice a week in that campaign, they consider it. They say, what are the potential upsides? What are the downside risks? And they reject it, saying, we don't need to give that speech yet.
Let me suggest to you the downsides are, we're a very different country from 1960. The Republican Party is far more religiously based than it was in 1960.
But it's not Romney's religion. That's the whole thing.
No, it's not Romney's religion, but we have had increasingly candidates asked about their religious beliefs. Mm-hmm. Howard Dean in 2004, I think inappropriately, was constantly asked about his religious beliefs. John Kerry was too. I don't think it's relevant if a candidate says it's not relevant. But I think the Republican Party wants people who say it's relevant. I mean, George W. Bush, Jesus is my favorite philosopher. Your party looks to people who do take religion into account.
Everybody's entitled to make up their mind on who they're going to vote for based on whatever criteria they want to design. And there are a certain number of people that will design their criteria among what somebody's beliefs would be. There are people who would not vote for anybody who's got any religious beliefs. They're atheists, and they want everybody else to be an atheist, and if you've got a religion, they won't vote for you.
I don't know many atheists like that. Most of them are willing to look at the candidate and choose based on the position.
I didn't say there was a plethora of them out there. I said there are some out there, probably the handful that I'm holding
up here. There's all kinds of people.
Anyway, so Governor Huckabee is going to be interesting. He's an excellent candidate. He does really, really well. I don't think he's going to have the resources or the organization to go for the long haul. Look at him as in the final mix for a vice presidential pick, no matter who gets the nomination.
As a Democrat, Mike, I hope Governor Huckabee takes your nomination.
All right.
Before we get off the Republican.
Let me say you'd be underestimating Governor Huckabee. He is an amazingly good candidate.
He may be, but I don't think this country's ready for a theocracy.
He's not a theocrat, and he's the
close.
Kind of guy.
He's as close as they get.
You know what? He's the kind of guy who, when you talk about, you know, all these special interest groups and things like that, you've heard of the Club for Growth, the big supply side, you know, no new programs kind of thing. Mike Huckabee calls them the Club for Greed.
Listen, on that, I agree with him. So there you go. Before we get off the Republican nominees, I do think we've got to throw in an honorable mention to Ron Paul.
All right.
I've met Ron Paul. I used to follow him when I was in Congress. And you got to give the guy credit for his principles, standing up for his principles. I actually don't think he's a full libertarian, but I do think that he does stand up for his principles, and he does represent a wing that I don't even know belongs in your party anymore. I think libertarians will be more at home in the Democratic Party because I think we have less government in people's private lives, but clearly they're unhappy with either party. And he's getting a lot of money, a lot of attention. How about Ron Paul running for the libertarian candidate for president of the United States? You think he'd take that? They'd offer it to him.
He has said he won't. He was asked very directly in the, I think, YouTube debate that the Republicans did last week whether or not he would consider that. He flat out, without hesitation, ruled it out. He says, I came to Washington as a Republican. I am a Republican. I'm campaigning for the Republican nomination. If I don't get it, I'm going to support the nominee of my party.
Okay. Do you think there's any third party that can disrupt this election? I mean, Ralph Nader may run again. Luckily for us Democrats, his numbers get less and less and less. I've still never forgiven him for 2000. Just like I've never forgiven the Supreme Court. But if, for example, Giuliani were to be running against Hillary Clinton, the Christian right is not a big fan of either of those. Might a Pat Robertson or someone like that pick up the third party banner and get 2-3% of the vote and actually swing this election?
There is that possibility. I don't think it will happen. I think my opinion is if we're going to get a third party candidate, it's more likely to come from the left than from the right.
So Ralph Nader probably again.
Probably Mike Bloomberg. He's still talking about it. He has not taken the decision off the table yet. He'll tell you he's taking it off the table.
He just wants attention.
He's still talking about it.
He just wants attention. I don't think he's going to run.
Mike Bloomberg hates Rudy Giuliani with a passion for some reason. I don't know why.
But then he would support the nominee against him, the Democratic nominee. He was an ex-Democrat. He'll endorse Hillary. He'll endorse Obama.
We'll see. Bloomberg is still out there having the meetings, making the plans. We'll see what happens.
Okay, but you think in a general election, it's more likely to get a third party from the left than from the right?
Equal possibilities. We may have four campaigns out there. You know, the two independents of which could grab 3% on either side.
Well, we all know that can affect the election. And I can tell you that for my sake, I hope there's a Christian conservative candidate. I hope there's a gun-loving candidate. I hope there's a pro-life candidate. Because I know as a Democrat, the more candidates on your side of the aisle, the better. More likely we're going to win.
Who does Bloomberg hurt more? You
know, he hurts us more.
I think
he hurts us more because I think he's more liberal than conservative.
He's a fiscal conservative.
As is the Democratic Party.
But
today.
Yet he's a nanny state liberal. In other words,
he's a Democrat.
Well, probably.
Because the Democrats.
I'll go with that.
No, the Democrats are fiscal conservatives.
They're nanny state liberals.
They're the ones who say pay as you go, not the Republicans.
I'll say nanny state liberal. That's good.
Okay. Assuming, for the sake of argument, no third party, because it's easier to assume without. Right. Let's just do head-to-head matchups. Clinton, Giuliani.
The current polls show that Mrs. Clinton loses to all five.
The polls I've seen show her three days old.
The current polls show her losing to all five, all four, not Huckabee, but the top four.
Go Huckabee.
She's losing, she's losing to them.
But they're still undecided. It's still overwhelming.
Oh, yeah. It's all within 4 or 5 points.
The latest polls I saw were not 3 days old. They're a week old, and they all showed her 2 to 3 points ahead, but running toughest against Giuliani was her toughest candidate.
I think Mrs. Clinton's difficulty is that she is getting beat up in her own party now, and the more...
But that's going to happen to the Republican frontrunner, too.
But it will. But the more Senator Obama and Senator Edwards beat up Senator Clinton, the more that her polls go down in general. She's not only losing support among Democrats, but the general electorate out there is now saying, well...
I think
we're
this is all very temporary. I think, as you know, these things happen in the primary, these polls. By the time of the summer convention, when she is holding up the hand of Edwards on one side and Obama on the other.
We're 11 months out.
No one will remember that. But one thing I do think is interesting.
Let me take it back. The Giuliani-Clinton thing. As you know, from 2000, the popular vote doesn't mean anything. We don't really need to worry about the popular vote. We need to worry about how do you
put together... Al Gore won the popular vote and the election.
How do you put together your 270 electoral vote coalition that's going to get you through the Electoral College and into the presidency? You can make an argument that Giuliani will be competitive in a lot of states that may be purple, that swung Democratic before, and he'll be very attractive to them. I don't know where you make the argument that Hillary is popular in any of the red states.
I think Hillary is more popular in the red states, actually, than either Obama or Edwards. I think that I think Obama actually, and I don't know whether it'd be racial prejudice or the newness. I mean, his rhetoric is wonderful, which is why I kind of like to see him as a vice presidential choice. I worry about racism in America. I really do. I mean, obviously, I may end up voting for the guy because I really like what he has to say, frankly. But I am concerned about red states. I am concerned. I mean, even when Doug Wilder won in Virginia, the polls showed him winning overwhelmingly, and then came the day of the race, and he squeaked out a victory. Mm-hmm. It's almost a question of, you know, is racism bigger in America or is sexism bigger in America? I think many people will vote for Hillary in the general election because they are voting largely for the first husband. Let's face it, Bill Clinton gave us peace and prosperity. We've never had such great surpluses, absence of war. We had a terrific time in the 90s. The only thing that happened that anyone can complain about is his private life. The country ran well. People will understand that he will be by her side. He will be influencing policy, and they'll vote for her partly because of him, and I have no problem with that.
Given the flap that happened last week in Iowa when former President Clinton went out there and declared that he had been against the Iraq war from the beginning, when in fact the record is fairly complete and extensive that he supported the war, et cetera, is he more of a help or a hindrance to her campaign at this particular time?
This time doesn't matter. At the end of the day, he's definitely a help. He is a draw. He is the Democratic Party messiah. And not just the Democratic Party. Independents today overwhelmingly remember Bill Clinton with fondness.
Can they find some way to control Bill Clinton on the campaign trail?
No one can control Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton can't control Bill Clinton.
And that includes Hillary, and that's okay. No, I really think it's interesting. You talk about attacking Hillary. Edwards has been attacking pretty strongly.
Mm-hmm.
Obama, I know a bit of I don't think he's pulling out all the guns. I really don't.
Not yet.
No, I think he's being respectful. He's attacking her on the issues, as he has a right to do, as he should do. But I think Obama really is a healer and someone who wants to bring the party together. And I don't see him going all out in the attack like Edwards is. In your party, who are the biggest attack dogs? It's Giuliani and Romney.
Well, Giuliani and Romney are going at each other because they view each other as the prime things, and they're essentially trying to be the fray and keep everybody else below the fray instead of above the fray.
So at the end of the day, strategy. Who is your strongest candidate?
In the general election, I think Rudy Giuliani would be our strongest candidate against him. Marginally better than Thompson. But that's my take on it right now. They'd run totally different kinds of campaigns. They'd be strong for different reasons. Thompson.
Both of them would be stronger than Romney or McCain.
Giuliani is a pit bull. People would respect his strength and his independence. Fred Thompson is everybody's grandfather. People just like the guy. He's so likable. He's just, you know.
But you think both of them are stronger than either Romney or McCain?
At this point, I would say, my estimate is they'd be stronger than either Romney or McCain.
I think Hillary is by far the strongest Democratic candidate. Like I said, I may still vote for Barack Obama, mostly because I like what he has to say, and I kind of want to give a shout-out to a new politician. But at the end of the day, I end up voting for Hillary Clinton, because not just because I generally like her, I don't agree with everything she does, but I do think she's our strongest candidate. I think people have forgotten the bad parts of the Clinton years, except the parts that they consider the Republicans as having gone too far. Hillary Clinton won't win many Republican votes, but I think she'll win a lot of independent votes, a lot of independently minded votes, and a lot of people who may have pulled the lever for George W. Bush and regretted that decision much more so than Obama, Edwards, or Richardson.
Senator Clinton will be the easiest person for us to run the polar campaign. You know, do you really want Hillary Clinton? And
I don't think you can demonize her enough. We'll see.
It's endless what you can do about that.
When we come back, Mike and I are going to talk about our crazy primary system and how we would change it so we didn't have a November 2008 election discussed in 2007. If you want to give us a call, we'd love to hear from you. 888-488-MARK. We'll be right back after this.
This is Mommy's bed. Me and Jenny were jumping on it. Mommy's gun fell on the floor. I was a cowboy. Bang, 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 bang. I said, Jenny, wake up, wake up. It's just pretend. But she wouldn't wake up.
If you give me a fish...
If you give someone a fish...
You feed them for a day.
Teach someone to fish.
You feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day. Teach me to fish, and you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
Oh, hey, mister. Studied algebra in school and got a better job than I could. You take the last cup.
No, mister. Stuck in an entry-level job because you only learned basic math. I don't have a boss riding my butt like you do, so you take it so you can get back to your desk.
You know, I probably should, but maybe Miss AP Calculus with the $200 haircut in the big office upstairs would like a cup.
Oh, no, mister. What was your name again? Never mind, it doesn't matter. I'm too busy doing important things to care. I just came down for some sweetened star.
You know, if my limited math abilities weren't keeping me from getting a better job, I'd quit this afternoon.
I don't blame you. But thank goodness you're stuck here because we really need someone to make the coffee.
Back to the Inside Scoop. We're talking about election 2008. In the break, my favorite camera person by the name of Mary Hartzler raised a very interesting point. Both Mike and I have referred to each of the candidates by their last name, except for one. We talk about Hillary, and then we talk about Obama and Edwards and Giuliani and Romney. And I want to make a plea, and there's no woman here on the set, but for my own lack of sexism, I would never refer to Nancy Pelosi as Nancy. I would never refer to Senator Feinstein or Senator Boxer by their first names. The only reason why I refer to Hillary by her first name is because of her very equally famous husband who was President of the United States. And if you just say Clinton, people aren't necessarily clear who you're talking about.
And at the same time, hearing myself when I say this, I've alternately referred to her sometimes as Senator Clinton and as Mrs. Clinton. And it's been suggested to me that perhaps, you know, there's
Senator
some underlying...
Clinton is the better,
Senator Clinton would
is,
be the...
Is the better moniker.
The better moniker.
But then if you want to say it quickly, you say Senator Clinton and then Senator Obama and then Governor Huckabee. It's, you know, so I also think that she has branded herself by her first name. Her signs say Hillary.
Right.
I don't think she would mind.
Her political branding is Hillary. She has chosen that herself.
Because she doesn't mind, I will continue to use her first name. Let's, in the last part, talk about something maybe we can agree on. And that is, I'll express my view and you can express your own. I think we've got a lousy way of nominating party candidates in this country. We have leapfrogging states. This year, it begins January 3rd. In 2012, it'll begin in 2011, I'm afraid. Maybe November. I mean, soon we'll be running, what, 2 years beforehand? It's a silly system. And I'm sorry, residents of New Hampshire and Iowa, but I don't think you always should get first choice. Equality under the law, equal protection, 14th Amendment. You've done a great job. I'm not knocking you. Give other citizens a chance.
It is a system I don't like. I don't think it works. I don't think it produces our best candidates. I think the Iowa, New Hampshire out front is a tired system whose time has gone and
needs it's too
to be
early,
gone.
Isn't it?
Here's what I mean,
shouldn't
do.
This be happening what in April or May rather than January?
I would prefer that. And here's the way I would do this. All right, and I don't have any monopoly on good ideas, and this may be a bad idea, but I would have a round of four primaries, and I wouldn't do them regionally. Because that gives one region too much influence. What I would do is I would take the 10 smallest states. I think there are 10 states or 12 states with 6 electoral votes or less. And I would have all of them have their primary on the same day, including New Hampshire and including Iowa, and make them all compete. And then you can have, you know...
A lot of them out west, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming.
That's fine.
Delaware's in the east. But
the point is, even if somebody captured all of those, there's no big head start going on here. I mean, you know, you've just gotten rid of all the small ones, and virtually everybody in the race can claim they won a state, because if you're not a Westerner, then you've won, you know,
Delaware.
You've won Delaware, or you've won New Hampshire,
Rhode
or Rhode Island, or even
not too
Vermont
many in the
or
South,
like that.
Though. I mean, I can't think of a really Mississippi has about seven electoral votes.
Eight, something like that.
I don't think there's one that's
right.
really small.
You're not going to have a Southern one.
Well, that's not fair.
In the first, well, that's tough. In the in the second round, you take the next 10 or 12 states, and you get all the ones with
5 to 10 electoral votes.
5 to 10, 6 to 10 electoral votes. The next round, you'd get all the ones that have, let's say, up to 18 electoral votes, 10 to 18. And then in the last wave, you have the New Yorks, the Texas, the Floridas, the Californias, you know, all the big ones. So you can go into that last round of primaries, and it hasn't been decided yet. It's still wide open. And nobody is sewing it up regionally because the states are spread out.
You know, it's a very interesting proposal. I think it's infinitely better than the current system, and I would support it over the current system. But I worry about that proposal, too, because, you know, residents of California and New York and Texas and Florida shouldn't always be last. Sometimes there are big city needs for cities like New York City and Los Angeles that have, I mean, California is, I believe, a tenth of the American population. It's a very, very, maybe even more than that, actually.
It's huge. I don't think it's a tenth. I think it's like 8% of the population, but
whatever it is, there are big city needs, and by putting the big states always last, I think that's unfair as well.
But the beauty is they're still players because it hasn't been sewn up by the time you get to the big states. It's still a wide open process.
Would you have them all on the same day?
No.
Los Angeles, New York, Houston, and Miami have to all vote in the same day?
I would do all them on the same day. What I would do is that the smaller states, I would start that, let's say, in the middle of March, and then I would do it every third week. You do the next round, so it's the beginning of April. The next round is the end of April, and then the end of May is when the big states come in, and you've still got over 50% of the delegates to be selected in the last last primary. So nobody has it sewn up by that point.
I actually like the idea of going state by state. I like the idea of this is Arkansas's week, this is Tennessee's week, this is South Dakota's week. I'd like to see maybe something close to your idea, but less states on the same side. I don't think it makes sense to have the people in Los Angeles and New York City voting on the same day. That, to me, is ridiculous. I would do week after week after week.
They do it in the general election?
Well, I know, but I would do week after week, state after state. I like the idea of starting small, and I like the idea also of rotating around regions. I mean, I think one of the things that they have done well, although I don't think Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, and Nevada should always get the first four, but the idea of the New England, Midwest, West, and South, the four main regions of the country, each getting it. Let's do next year Rhode Island and South Dakota and New Mexico and Mississippi. Again, four regions, also small states. But let's rotate. Let's give different states a chance. And at the end of the day, I'd like to give every state a chance. You know, maybe one year, it's okay to have California first. Let's be fair. All citizens in this country are equal. Let's rotate these states around.
If you do the big states first, then it's all over after the first day.
But
it's
not.
That's why. Well, it is. I mean, if you win California, you've locked it up. You've just gone ahead and
Certainly not locked it up. If California is the one state that's voted,
you've just swept everybody off, and you've got probably 12%.
It's not
of
a
the
winner
votes.
Take all.
Sure they are. Primaries, they're winner-take-all.
No, most of them are not.
Most of them are.
Well, it depends. They tend to be heavily weighted toward the winner. They usually get some delegates. The Iowa caucuses, the winner won't get all the delegates.
There are some caucus states where you don't get all the...
New Hampshire isn't winner-take-all.
No, New Hampshire for the primary is winner-take-all.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
New Hampshire for primary is winner-take-all.
I just think everyone needs to get a chance. And I don't even mind starting small and going large, but Iowa, New Hampshire, thank you very much. Give us other states
a chance. Now let me tell you why none of these good ideas are going to happen. Because number one, the political parties can't control their own state parties. They just set their stuff willy-nilly.
Yeah, the Democratic Party's in trouble. They're going to have to disenfranchise Michigan and Florida.
They've already said Michigan and Florida are disenfranchised. That'll probably go away at the end of the day, but we'll see how that works. I'd love to see them disenfranchised forever. You know, thank you. Come to our column. The state legislatures are the ones that aren't even controlled by the parties. They're the ones that set the dates, and there's nothing you can do about what a state legislature does.
It's a weird mix. A primary is a weird combination of public and private things. I mean, a general election is a public election. But you have state legislatures deciding who'll be the nominee for a private party. That's kind of a weird mix.
They decide when it's going to be. They don't decide who's going to
be. Well, they decide when it's going to be.
Right.
I don't know about that.
Paying for it.
Well, why can't we have the national government decide that? Why can't Congress fund the primaries?
They
could. I don't know of any law against it. Nothing in the Constitution.
We got a Tenth Amendment issue here?
I don't think so. I think that Congress has the right to set the time and place of elections. Primaries probably weren't really thought about by the founders, so I think it's an open question. But they can definitely set the time and place and manner of choosing electors.
They might be able
I think the Congress could regulate this, and we need congressional regulation.
They might be able to involve themselves in it. There's not a political chance in anywhere that they would consider doing it because
why can't all of us non-residents of Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina stand up against these three tyrannous states who are controlling the process every year?
And they are tyrannous states, and they need to be spanked and sent home.
I think so, too. Virginia should have a chance. Maryland should have a chance. The new state of Columbia that will be in existence once we get a Democratic president and Democratic Congress should have its chance.
Virginia has a primary the week after the big one.
Virginia used to matter. 4 years ago, it did matter.
Only once did Virginia matter. We never really had.
Kerry, it mattered 4 years ago. I supported Wesley Clark, and he didn't do well in Virginia, and that was kind of the end of him.
He did not, did he?
No.
My condolences.
Too bad. He would have been a very strong candidate, I think, in 2004.
We'll see how the process plays out.
He'd still be a good vice presidential candidate, by the way. I've always had a lot of respect for
him. He needs
General
to put
Clark.
Himself more in the mix. He just hasn't kept his profile as high as it needs to be, and I think you're going to see... I really think the best candidate all the way around that you will see on the Democratic side is going to be Bill Richardson for vice president.
And he may well be chosen. How about on your side? Who's the Republican VP choice?
I think everybody's coalescing around Huckabee now. I think he needs to prove himself a little bit more in the campaign trail, but I think...
You think he's running for vice president?
No, I think he's running for president, but I think he'll take vice president.
And you don't think the others will offer each other Giuliani, Romney, or they'll fight too much? Thompson? Why can't Thompson be vice president?
I think the front runners have the same problem that that Senator Clinton and Senator Obama have, which is that they're fighting too much, and they're not going to be able to personally merge their things once one beats the other one.
Let me suggest to you that overall, when it comes to November 2008, whatever people are saying now, I think the record of the Bush administration has been so abominable, has been so terrible. He has approval ratings that are the lowest in history with the exception of Richard Nixon right before Watergate, that the voters will understand that they need a change. And I think it's the Democrats' election to lose in 2008.
Right now, there's no doubt that if the election were held tomorrow, it would be a strong Democratic day. Election day is 11 months away. You know what?
And you're going to work to demonize every Democratic candidate available.
A million things.
Your party's going to think of Swift Boat times 12.
A million? Well, Swift Boat was legitimate. There are some other things.
It was
that
not legitimate.
It was. John Kerry, you know, is just...
Don't even go there. What are you going to do? You're going to bring up... If it's Hillary, is this going to be Filegate again? Are we going to bring up Whitewater?
You know what?
I mean, come on.
You know what? There was a faux scandal that they tried to break to essentially sabotage Giuliani last week on the travel expenses.
Giuliani has enough problems. Well, he doesn't need a faux scandal.
First of all, it's not going to stick. But if Hillary really wants to get involved in a campaign where we're comparing old financial records, I think we win that one.
I think Giuliani's ex-wife would be very happy to go out there and campaign for Hillary Clinton.
I think Giuliani's ex-wife is actually on his team now.
Really?
They've made their piece.
He must have paid her a lot of alimony for that. We're going to have to leave that where it is. Folks, you can catch the Inside Scoop every Sunday at 6:30 right here on Channel 10. You can also find more information at radioinsidescoop.com. This is Mark Levine signing off.